You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 12 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be discussing exactly what went wrong against Liverpool. We'll be looking at the performance of the kids in the Carling Cup, and we'll be previewing the Premier League encounter with Blackburn Rovers too.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to the latest edition of the RedCafe.net podcast. Obviously a bit downbeat following a defeat to Liverpool, but spirits raised ever so slightly after the victory in the Carling Cup against Barnsley. Hello, Dov and Dan, as always on the show tonight.
Hello, Steve.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, as well as can be expected after a weekend, I suppose. Other than that, not bad.
And Dan, have you got over it at all, or still completely depressed and exasperated over the defeat?
I was never depressed, to be honest with you. We deserved to lose, so no complaints, really. But yeah, I'm all right now.
I'm glad to hear that, Dan. Yeah. I don't like it when you're depressed. It saddens me.
I'm not depressed. I'm never depressed.
Well, guys, let's kick off the show by talking about the defeat. So, Dan, where did it all go wrong?
Well, I just think that we didn't look up for it at all, which was surprising, really. It's a massive game, isn't it, United-Liverpool? Especially at Anfield. You want to turn up and go, put a good performance on, but it just didn't happen at all. I don't think anyone really stood out to have a good game.
Would you blame the referee at all? Obviously, the Carragher one, he should have been sent off, shouldn't he? And Vidic, well, the referee will say he gave him a yellow card, and it was a yellow card, so obviously two yellows equals a red. But for Carragher, I think Owen was through, wasn't he? And he should have sent him off. But
yeah, the referee should have given a straight red to Vidic, shouldn't he, really?
So, well, if
he'd have given a straight red, though, then he would have had to give Carragher a straight red, so he bottled it, basically.
No. The thing with Carragher, the reason why he never got sent off was because Michael Owen was running away from goal, so it can be judged.
His first touch got him away from Carragher.
Dan, stop. Wait a minute, right? Let me finish. Right, the reason that you can look at it too is, I can see where you're coming from, he's the last man, etc., etc., but he's running away from goal, so you could say it's not a clear goal scoring opportunity because you can get another defender coming across, etc., etc. So that's possibly why the way the referee viewed it, and it's not clear cut. You can say, it's a last man sending off, etc., or you could go, well, he's not running towards goal, he's running towards the corner.
I'm sorry, Dolph. Owen, once he gets that out of his feet, he's having a shot on goal there, which means it's a goal-scoring opportunity. There's no way a Liverpool defender is going to cover round in time to be able to get the tackle in.
Is it a clear goal-scoring opportunity? Is he pretty much going to score? It's debatable.
Yeah, an opportunity is to have a shot, and he would have clearly had a shot.
He was running away from goal. I'm just explaining to you, that's why the referee didn't send him off.
It's a goal-scoring opportunity. It was a cynical foul as well. Carragher knew exactly what he was doing, and the referee bottled it. I mean, it might not have made much difference at the end. There was only like 5 minutes left or whatever, but at the same time, a lot of the balls that we had, you know, before we let the second goal in, Carragher was clearing, so you could argue that, you know, it would have made a bit of a difference, but...
No, I would have sent him off, to be fair.
But Vidic's is a straight red because obviously Kautz, he's clear through there, and Vidic knows exactly what he's doing. It's a straight red, it's not a second yellow. So, therefore, if Vidic hadn't got a card in the first place, what would the ref have done? Would he give him a yellow card? I don't think so. He would have sent him off, which means it's a cynical foul. So he'd have had to done the same for Carragher, so he bottled it.
Simple as that. One, half a dozen of the other. I mean, he was getting sent off either way.
What was?
Vidic
is 6-1. He ran in straight into him.
He means in terms of card being given to him, like it being a yellow or a red.
Yeah, no, if he didn't have a yellow, he'd have got sent off.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He's got a yellow. Then the referee should apply the laws of the game, which is a straight red.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree with you two there. But what about the absence of Darren Fletcher, Dolph? I think that was key, wasn't it? And it was pointed out tonight on commentary during the Barnsley game that he wasn't there against Liverpool, we lost. He wasn't there Champions League final against Barcelona, we were outplayed. So Darren Fletcher is becoming, well, he is, isn't he? He's such a key player.
Well, I think you asked Dan the question, where did it all go wrong? For me, that answer would be Carrick and Scholes playing in the centre of the park. They're too slow, especially when you're playing a team like Liverpool, who have got a bit more thrust and a bit more presence about them in the centre midfield. I mean, Lucas isn't the best, but Mascherano like stamps his authority on the game most of the time, and Scholes and Carrick were horrendous. And for Darren Fletcher, he would have gave us that presence, that work ethic, the drive in the middle of the park that we clearly lacked.
Why didn't Anderson play?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's what I don't understand. Because I mean, I don't think you can get away with playing Giggs and Scholes in a game of that magnitude, really, together. I don't think there's enough energy there. Scholes, I thought Scholes had a decent first half, to be fair. When he was on the ball, he was looking to pass it around. He was getting caught in possession a few times, but I thought Carrick tried to get forward a few times as well, but yeah, like you say, there was no energy in there, and it was just a bit flat, really.
We only had something like three shots on target, or like maybe two shots on target, like three if you count the one that hit the bar. But that's terrible. It's not good enough, and we were shown up to be.
Do you think if Gerrard was playing, that Anderson would have played?
Possibly, yeah, because he may have seen, Ferguson may have looked at it, Lukas, Mascherano, that can be exploited. They're just going to sit in front of that back four, and unfortunately those two were the ones that were sort of getting about, like Anderson does, harassing for possession. And yeah, I think you're right there, Dan. I think
we all know, though, that Mascherano is going to snap at people, isn't he? I mean, so wouldn't necessarily have Scholes in there. Lucas, to be fair, he had a good game, I thought. Did his job very well. But I just thought that we looked flat and boring, really.
What about the two central defenders? Because obviously, like we've said on here, and a lot of other media have said, that they're the best central defensive partnership in the Premier League and possibly in Europe. And I'm not fully fit. Fernando Torres basically showed the two of them up. What are your thoughts on first Rio Ferdinand? What did you make, obviously, his performance for a start?
I think he's getting slated a bit unfairly, really. I mean, Torres there, I don't care if he's 50% or 100%, he's going to probably get away from most defenders. But on the Vidic thing, I just think that he approached the game completely wrong. I don't know why you'd go in and try and kick him all over the shop. It's not going to affect someone like Torres really that much, I don't think. And in the end, it backfired, didn't it? But
yeah, I'd agree with Dan in terms of I wouldn't blame Rio for the goal at all. Fernando Torres is world class. I'd go as far as saying he's probably on form the best striker in the world at the moment, and you can't stop it when he's got a yard of pace in front of you. He's got that extra yard. There's not a lot you can do.
The thing is as well, like a couple of years ago I can remember playing him, and like Ferdinand and Mark Torres out the game. I know it was like a couple of years ago, obviously, and time sort of kind of improved players, but it seems to me it's like Ferdinand's lost something, and I don't know if it's because of like it has got a lot of injuries. I mean, do you think that's a factor in his form, which has been pretty dire for the last little while?
I said it last week, I think confidence is a big thing at the moment for Ferdinand. I think he is taking that extra moment to make a decision, whereas normally that would come naturally. He'd naturally clear the ball out, naturally play that simple pass, but now, because he knows he's made a couple of errors, he's sort of thinking, right, I need to take an extra touch here to make sure I don't make that mistake. And to be honest, that isn't Rio Ferdinand at his best. Ferdinand at his best is when he has the confidence to go out and play. And we all know Rio Ferdinand is a ball-playing centre-half. He's got the technical ability to be able to play the ball from the back rather than just hoof it clear. And at the moment, he's just shot of any confidence.
See, the thing is that you say that like we know what kind of player he is, but the thing that gets me is, right, he's always like had those little stupid mistakes a la what he did against Man City, just stupid things that it's just a lack of concentration or something like that. But in that same game against Bellamy, he was completely beaten for pace, and Rio Ferdinand's a fast, a quick player, and again with Torres he was beaten for it. It seems like he's lost something physically as well, and it seemed like Torres was pushing him off the ball a lot as well, and that's not Rio Ferdinand for me. Rio Ferdinand's a leader type player. It makes his presence felt a bit as well, and it seems like he's lost something. I don't know if it's the injuries and the amount of time he's spent out, but there's something not right.
But Bellamy's going to rip anyone up, to be fair.
No, but Ferdinand's not slow though. That's what I'm saying. Ferdinand's a fast defender.
Yeah, but Bellamy wasn't like fly. He was faster, obviously, but he wasn't like.
But like Bellamy's got the ball. Like Ferdinand of maybe 2 years ago, that would never have happened. But now there's, for me, there's just something physically not right.
Well, Ferguson said, hasn't he, that Rio does need to up his game for both club and country. Otherwise, he's going to be dropped. And judging by, well, I know it's not fantastic opposition, with all due respect, Barnsley, Evans and Brown did themselves no harm tonight. I mean, they weren't outstanding by any stretch of the imagination, but both of them look assured. And Dan, you're a big Wes Brown fan. I mean, why not bring him in?
Well, I mean, he could do. He had a good game tonight. Like you say, not against brilliant opposition, but you've got to stick with Rio Ferdinand, give him a chance to prove himself, get some fitness back. I'd have played him tonight, possibly alongside Evans, just to feel himself into the game a bit more. But it worked out, we won, so it's fine.
Well, just going back to the sort of idea that we definitely miss Darren Fletcher, Nathan Hornsby and Sean Fields on the emails, they completely agree that without having Fletcher in there, we just didn't have that bite in midfield, which I completely agree with. But on a more positive note, if you can take any positives from a defeat to Liverpool, Antonio Valencia put in another decent performance, Dov. Unlucky not to score as well with that cracking strike against the bar. So at least Valencia's starting to prove himself now at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I mean, he's had the last like two or three games he's played, he's been a lot of a threat, obviously got a couple of goals as well, and really had Insua in his pocket for the whole game. Got some crosses in, hit the bar as well. That was probably our best opportunity. So it was a positive, but I mean, on the whole, like, there wasn't really much else happening, like, with the attacking sense. Berbatov really wasn't there. Rooney, again, he looked like he'd been brought back maybe a game too early. And then, well, what about the introduction of Michael Owen? What did we make of that? He got friendly booed.
To be expected, wasn't it? But I'll tell you what, he nearly got himself in to get one-on-one, and we talked about what we feel should have happened to Carragher. But who knows? If Carragher hadn't hauled him down, he might have stuck that away, and then, well, it would have been fireworks, wouldn't it? But
we could only hope, Steve. We could only hope. Next season or at Old Trafford, that's what we want. Michael only get a goal.
And moving on to Barnsley away in the Carling Cup, the fourth round, 2-0. Barnsley had their chances, but then I suppose with Gary Neville being sent off, we went down to 10 men and they were bound to sort of exert a bit of pressure. Dan, any complaints on the Neville red card? I mean, he did get the ball, but then again, it was a little bit high, and Ferguson sort of said that he's under a... There's so much scrutiny with the FA at the moment, he's not going to question any decisions. But Dan, yeah, was it fair enough that it was a red card?
It's comparable to the Carragher one on Michael Carrick at the weekend, if you ask me. But because Gary Neville won more of the ball than Carragher did. But, you know, I suppose he is a bit high. I don't think he meant to catch him, but no, you can't really complain at the sending off there. He'd followed through, didn't he? But, you know, I mean, I thought we played well after that. I mean, obviously we let a few Barnsley chances in behind our defence, but, I mean, apart from that, I thought we did okay.
And, I wonder if the referee knew that the challenge from Neville was on. Is the lad's name Adam Hamill? He's ex-Liverpool. I wonder if that was in the back of the referee's mind. But
Nah. No? I can't imagine it being Gary Neville's mind either. If it is, I'd be very surprised.
Well, positive performances from Michael Owen, Danny Welbeck and Gabriel Obertan as well on his debut. He looked really sharp, always wanted the ball, always looking to take people on. And he looks like he could have a role to play, not just in the Carling Cup, in the Premier League as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's very quick, isn't he? I saw the highlights that he played in the reserve game a few weeks ago. But yeah, he looks very quick. Like you say, he wants the ball. I thought he faded a little bit in the second half. Maybe that's just, you know, due to lack of fitness coming back after his injury. But you know, I thought Michael Owen took his goal very well. I know it was only Darren Moore, but you've still got to beat the players in front of you, and he's a big lad to run around. And I thought Raphael played very well, considering his position. But I thought we did okay.
It was a strange one, wasn't it, seeing Raphael pop up in central midfield. You really wouldn't expect him to. If you had to pick a position, centre midfield certainly wouldn't be it. But he did okay. I'd still say right back is clearly his strongest position. Maybe Ferguson's just trying something out. Maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's tried him there, and Ferguson's picked up on that. I'm not sure. But
Steve, do you think that maybe highlights a lack of centre midfielders at the club?
I don't think it's a case of a lack of central midfielders. Maybe he saw Raphael could possibly offer something different. There's also the fact that Ferguson obviously wants to give Gary Neville as many games as he can, and the only way he could get Raphael and Gary Neville in the same team was either by playing Gary Neville at centre-half, but then you got the problem of needing to play Wes Brown and Johnny Evans. So, yeah, maybe he's done it in training, seen that he's done all right in training and just given him a go, and he did okay, but then again, like I just said, I still think right back is clearly his strongest position. But just moving on slightly, Federico Makeda, Dan, very quiet.
I thought he showed a bit of promise, though. I mean, his trickery on the ball was pretty good. I remember the one on the near touchline. He did a little back heel. It was pretty nice. He's still developing, though. Still learning. So I don't have a problem with players, you know, learning the game, as long as we keep winning, of course. But Owen, good goal and well back, nice little header, and he played well in general as well, so very pleasing. On the side of Raphael, though, I mean, why didn't they give Ekram a chance in midfield? I mean, he must be thinking, because from what we've heard, he's been playing really well in the reserves, so why not give him a run out, you know?
Darren Gibson as well, you'd expect it.
I think Gibson's injured, Steve. I'm sure I read that somewhere, yeah.
And Dov, Zoran Tosic came on, and I thought he looked really bright. And there's been a lot of sort of talk that Tosic has only been brought in as to help Adam Ljajic when he eventually gets signed on for the first team and begins to appear, that he's just there as a sort of buddy, if you like, to help him settle in. I think Tosic has really got a lot to offer. I thought he did really well when he came on tonight. The sort of handful of appearances I've seen him play for the first team in the reserves, he's impressed me as well. So do you think that he's ever going to have a chance of breaking into the sort of Premier League side, or is he the sort of player where the best he can hope for is a move to a rival Premier League club?
Well, from what I've seen of him in the reserves and in the first team, from what I've seen, he looks a handy player. He looks quite quick, he's got fantastic technique, and he hits a mean free kick and set piece. I don't see any reason why. I think the only question mark is his physique, because he is quite slightly built. I think his nickname's Bambi, or that was his nickname at Partizan Belgrade, and you can see why. But I don't see any reason why he can't be a decent player for us, especially the performances he's put in the reserves and when he's had his chance. I think I really do like him as a player. I don't think he'd just be there as a buddy, because I don't think Alex Ferguson would spend money on a player to be another player's mate, basically. I think he's got the class. It just depends how much playing time he's going to get with the first team.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Right, well, it's reserves review time now, so I'll hand over to Dov, who's going to bring us bang up to date with the latest reserves fixtures.
Well, Steve, I am indeed. There's only one fixture this week, so it's going to be a reasonably short reserves review. The game was in the Reserve Premier League, but it was United against Blackburn Rovers at home, and it was a 3-0 victory for us. Three goals. First one came from Magnus Ekram, who was just discussed. He scored a free kick. It was great free kick from about 20 yards, curled over the wall and just inside sort of the near post. Fantastic strike. And Ekrem, every time I see him play, he's always scoring set pieces or having a great game and scoring magnificent goals. So that's another one. Then basically we had the best of the game. We dominated the game. Blackburn, Ben Amos was the goals. They hardly tested him the whole night. The second goal came on 82 minutes. Fabian Brandy, he scored. Basically, he nodded in from a King Cross and put us ahead 2-0. So that was basically the game over then. And then Tosic, he pounced on some terrible defending from the Blackburn players, advanced on the goal, and then just smashed a shot low into the inside post, and that's us on top of the reserve league. A couple of notes on the game. Obviously, we did dominate. Obertan played, and he was very, very impressive. Again, we've noted his pace already in the Cannon Cup game, and it was evident again. Fantastic pace acceleration he's got, and sort of his trickery and technique on the ball is something that will be very interesting to see how that develops as the season goes on. Also, Josh King, another player, just he's a right handful up front for the defending teams he's played against and for Black. He's a right handful and sort of holding the ball up, playing the ball through to the likes of Obertan, Tosic, Brandy, etc. And just a quick note on the defensive partnership, Oliver Gill and Richie Delight were absolutely fantastic in defence, and they had their chances to score as well, but they really weren't letting anything pass them at all. So with regard to the reserves and some of the younger players at the club, I mean, the future is very much bright, and another impressive showing from the reserve guys.
Oh, fantastic stuff. A great result for the reserves there. Let's move on to Cabbage and Player of the Week now. Well, plenty of candidates for the Cabbage of the Week. Dan, I'll start with you on that one.
Nemanja Vidic. Poor. Simple as that.
Stop.
Nemanja Vidic. Poor. Simple as that.
I'm going to resist the temptation to give him a hat-trick. I'm going to give it to Wayne Rooney, actually. I was hoping he was going to make a real big impression against Liverpool, which he didn't do, and I guess part of that reason wasn't really his fault. It's just that he didn't really get a chance, did he, to have a real effort on goal. But no, I was hoping he'd really take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, it may not have been fit though, Steve. That's true. Maybe in his defence. But another one with Vidic as well. The last three games against Liverpool, three red cards. I mean, Jesus Christ.
It's not a great record, is it?
It's not, no.
What about Player of the Week? Considering we've had the Carling Cup game, maybe a few to choose from that. Dov, I'll start with you this time.
I'm going to give it to Obertan. Based on the Carling Cup game and the game in the reserves, just it looks like he's a real find and possible signing of the season for us at £3.5 million. It looks like he's got all the technique and he's got searing pace, so he's my player this week.
Dan?
Valencia, I think. I thought he played quite well on Sunday, and he was unlucky to hit the bar as well. So yeah, I think I'll go with Valencia. What about you, Steve?
I am going to give it to Michael Owen, not just for the way he took his goal tonight, which was absolutely superb, but also when he came on against Liverpool. I thought he was one of the only ones that showed he really wanted it, and he really wanted to prove a point to the Liverpool fans. So yeah, not just for the Carling Cup performance, but also for the little cameo, shall we say, that he produced against Liverpool as well. Right, let's move on to the Legends profile now and bring Dov back again. Dov, who's the legend you've lined up for this week?
Well, this week we have Alexander Cyril Stepney, or to you and me, Alex Stepney. He's a very, very good goalkeeper and our sixth highest appearance maker with 539 appearances for Manchester United. He was born on the 18th of September 1942 in Mitcham in Surrey, so he's a southerner. And he started off his club career at Tootingham Mitcham United, where he made 35 appearances, caught the eye of Millwall, and then went on to make 137 appearances for them in 3 years, and is regarded as Millwall's best ever keeper. And in those 3 seasons, he only missed one game, and that was the last game of the 65-66 season. So lots of consecutive appearances. I mean, you can't say much about that. Obviously, at Millwall, he caught the eye of Chelsea, and they signed him in May 1966 for £50,000, which was quite a lot of money for a goalkeeper back then. Manager was Tommy Docherty, who obviously subsequently went on to manage Manchester United. Also signed was a goalkeeper called Peter Bonetti, and 3 months after Stepney was signed by Chelsea, he was sold to Manchester United for a record fee of £55,000 and made only one appearance for Chelsea. So it didn't really work out there, but then he came to the promised land. and he made his debut for Manchester United against Manchester City, and in a game which we won 1-0 thanks to Dennis Loggall. His best achievement, his biggest achievement for us was obviously winning the European Cup in 60, but obviously before then we had to win the Division 1 Championship. And Sir Martin Busby said, he described him as the single most important factor behind our championship in 1967. So I mean, you can't get much higher praise than that. One of the defining moments of his career was in the 1968 European Cup final against Benfica. He played throughout the road to Wembley, and then in that game he made a close range save from Eusebio, who I think most people will know, and basically this was when the game was 1-1 as well, and Eusebio was like, so astonished by the save that he stopped and he applauded Alex Stepney as he threw the ball back into play. Matt Busby said it was a great save, but Stepney, a bit more modest, said it went into my hands. So there you go. Although I'm going to go back and on a more less positive note, he conceded a goal from Tottenham goalkeeper Pat Jennings in the 1967 Charity Shield, and that was from a goal kick. The ball bounced over Stepney and went in, and that game ended 3-3. So it wasn't all perfect. Obviously after the 68 European Cup final, so the United side was in a bit of a decline, but he stayed with the team. Obviously lots of underachieving going on, and I was actually with the team when they got relegated in 1974. But in that relegation season, Stepney at a point was our top scorer. He scored 2 goals from the penalty spot and was the top scorer up until about Christmas time. So it gets among the goals, and he is our top ever goal scoring goalkeeper, even more than Peter Schmeichel. In his United career, he kept 175 clean sheets and made a club record at the time of 92 consecutive appearances. This was later broken by Steve Coppell. So he was a club stalwart and one of our best ever keepers. And since obviously retiring from football, he's went on to become a goalkeeping coach. He had a spell at Man City at the turn of the century, and currently hosts the Legends Football Phone-In on Century Radio in Manchester as well. All in all, he won the Division 1 medal, he won an FA Cup, Second Division medal, European Cup. He also went on to play for Dallas, Toronto, and NASL, the North American Soccer League, and then came back and played for Altrincham on loan. Played 17 games for them when they were in the lower leagues as well. But one funny story about him, it's a bit of an infamous story, is when he was playing for us against Birmingham in 1975, the defence was in such a mess and they were just playing so badly, he actually dislocated his jaw shouting at the defenders. So it's like Peter Schmeichel's been compared to him, sort of in attitude and things like that. And I mean, when you've got a goalkeeper who's shouting at you that hard, he dislocates his jaw. I mean, I wouldn't want that. I don't think neither of you two would either. So that is Alex Stepney, a goalkeeping legend of the club.
Well, before we close the 12th episode of the RedCafe.net podcast, let's look ahead to our next fixture, which is, of course, in the Premier League against Blackburn Rovers at Old Trafford on Saturday. Dan, obviously losing to Liverpool, huge blow. So it is important that we bounce back, isn't it, in the Premier League. And these sort of games at home, they must win, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we'll win it, though. Like I say, I think we've played well tonight against Barnsley. I know it's not the same players, but I think that we'll be able to concentrate and do well against Blackburn, and I fully expect a victory, really.
Dov, there's clearly going to be wholesale changes from the victory over Barnsley, but how would you sort of line the team up considering the Liverpool defeat as well?
I would maybe shake it up a little bit. I think I would I'd get John Evans in defence. I'd take Scholes at the side, and possibly Giggs. I'd maybe go with a bit of a younger side, because I'd get Anderson in there. Nani, I'd give him a start as well, and I'd give Michael a little game too. I'd bring a few changes. Sort of. I can't see Rio Ferdinand starting, to be fair. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about him getting dropped, and I think John Evans is going to get a chance at centre back. Although, to be fair, like, I think the only thing we need to worry about is not catching swine flu.
Yeah, that's been reported, hasn't it, that a few of the Blackburn players have come into contact with it. But just going back to Nani that you mentioned there, Dov, poor again, wasn't he, against Liverpool? I know he only come on as a substitute, but the few times that he did have a chance to really have a go at the Liverpool defence and have a shot on goal, it just nothing materialised.
I think you know, everybody's a bit too harsh on him. He's a good player. I think for me, he needs a consistent run in the side. I mean, he's always in and at the side. He's coming on as a substitute, getting 10, 20 minutes here and there. I mean, remember his first season, he got something like 24 games and looked fantastic in most of them. So I'd want to see him getting more games, more consistent games. Because I think he's got bags and bags of talent. And if we don't realise it, I think another team will.
That's just about it for this week's RedCafe.net podcast. Remember, do send your feedback, questions and comments to our email address, which is podcast@redcafe.net. The Facebook group too, I mention it every week, but please do get on there and get involved in the discussions that are going on.
Yeah, everybody, get on the Facebook group. I need something to do when I'm at work, and Facebook's the only thing I have. So get on the Facebook group. Join it, tell your friends to join it, even if they're not United fans, get them on it as well.
Yeah, well, that just leaves me to say thanks very much for listening and tune in again for next week's show.